Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Creed comes from credo. Its first word in the Latin, I believe. This first Sunday of Advent, let's look at the first word of the Apostles' Creed. We say it, but he gives it to us as a gift. Credo, I believe. This word is one of those which will never pass away. Heaven, meaning the atmosphere, the skies, yes. Earth, yes, by fire. But the creed, the I believe, and its 12 apostolic articles, they will never pass away. Belief, faith, is the foundation of the spiritual house of the soul. So what is it? Faith. It's a supernatural gift of God, which enables us to believe without doubting whatever God has revealed. You know how there's actual sin? On the other side, do you know there's actual faith that enables you to believe one particular article of the faith, say, to believe in the Immaculate Conception? But habitual faith puts you into a disposition of believing everything that God has revealed. But it comes, as I say, a gift of God. It's freely bestowed at baptism. It is infused by the Holy Ghost into your soul, poured into your soul, just as the water is poured over your head. Thanksgiving. That's a claim for your gratitude, isn't it? Thank God that I was born a Catholic. Thank God that somebody, perhaps directly our Lord or someone else, led me to convert to the Catholic faith. So what kind of a gift is it for which I'm being thankful? It's a gift above our nature. Strictly speaking, I have no right to it. It's not essential, like the reasoning process. It's not ours when we're born, because we're born in sin. It's not something natural to us, as the ability to see or to hear. It is above our nature, supernatural, whereby we believe. What does that mean, to believe? It means to hold as true something on the word of another. On another person's word, that's human faith. On God's word, it's divine faith. Now, faith is the glue that holds society together. Without it, you couldn't have families or business or anything. You always have to be taking somebody's word for something. And that's what faith is. The classic example they give is Paris. If you've never been to Paris, nevertheless, you believe on human faith that such a city exists. I've been there a number of times, and I never see what all the fuss is about. It's a nice city, sure, but it's not this magnificent to die for city that they talk about in the travel books, that's for sure. But that's my opinion. My opinion is not faith. If I believe, that means I don't doubt. I believe firmly, and I believe without hesitation, and I believe on the veracity of God. I don't need to go there and check it out myself. That's the story of St. Louis. And this took place outside of Paris. That is to say that he had gone, this king, to the two masses he heard every morning, and now he was working. And then a courier comes running in to say, Your Majesty, the priest at the elevation of the next mass lifted up the sacred host, and everyone can see the child Jesus. Come and see. And he said, No, I don't need to. I believe. Now that is faith. I believe whatever God has revealed. You know how Sometimes young people, but maybe it's sort of drifted to the older ones too. Not a good thing. You know how young people will say at the end of a conversation, a fraught one, a difficult one, they'll say dismissively as they're leaving the room, whatever. Well, I believe whatever in a very positive sense. I believe every point of revelation. I believe every dogma the church gives to us, and I believe it without exception. And I believe it whether I understand it or not, and I know I'll never fully understand it. And I believe it whether or not it appeals to me or makes sense to me, or if I may use the phrase, whether or not I like it. So we use whatever in a wonderful sense and in the widest sense of the term and with great respect. Whatever God has revealed. How does he reveal? He reveals sometimes by means of a voice. Adam and Eve, or Abraham, Moses, they heard the voice of God. Sometimes God reveals by means of an angel. Abraham was told he would have a son by an angel, and Joseph, that he must not fear to take Mary, his espoused wife. Then in the Old Testament, God spoke by means of his prophets. Our Advent prophets are Isaiah and St. John the Baptist. How did the three kings get from Iran, Persia, all the way to Bethlehem, if not by means of a star? God spoke by a star. He gave them an internal understanding of what the star was, but they saw a star, a miraculous one, in the sky. And finally, God speaks to us. This will be in the epistle for the third Mass of Christmas. God hath spoken to us by his Son, our blessed Savior. He spoke to us once. He is now gloriously enthroned in heaven. Does he still speak to us? Yes, he does. How? By the church. For the church is Christ. She proposes truth to the faithful. She defines what is truth and what is error. If you don't get the question of the church right, then today you'll get nothing right at all, and you'll end up a heretic and worse. That's why the question of the false conciliar church is of crucial moment today. What are the qualities of our faith? Our faith has to be entire. Have you ever heard the phrase cafeteria Catholic? So you're going down the line and you see the jello pudding, but then you spot a piece of blueberry pie and you think, no, I'm going for the blueberry pie. That's what many people do today when it comes to religion, but we don't do that. We're Catholics. We believe every article without exception, and we believe firmly and without hesitation, not as a matter of opinion. It's not, well, I think this is true, but really, I don't know that much about religion. I really couldn't. If you say that, you do not have faith. It is firm, unhesitating, and steadfast, like Abraham on Mount Moriah with the knife about ready to carry out God's will until the angel stops him, the voice of God. Faith is next, living. We say it's an active or an effectual faith. That means it brings about an effect in your life. It's not something you put on Sunday. It's not something theoretical or objective. You live your faith as did the saints of old, as did the early Christians in the first centuries, in a supernatural way, because faith is a supernatural gift. It comes from God. It leads us to God, and God is the reason for us to believe and to live our faith. How do people sin against the faith? By any willful doubt of any article. But remember, many difficulties that present themselves to you do not add up to a doubt. And many temptations against the faith do not add up to a culpable doubt or to a sin. No. those things can present themselves, but then you make an act of faith and later on go back and study more the question. Culpable ignorance. That's a sin that occurs quite a bit today. Ignorance of our own fault. We had a smattering. We had enough catechism to make First Communion, and I sent the kids for a year or two afterwards, but then there are other things, you know, there's soccer on Sunday and this and that, and well, we got away from going to catechism classes. And then that's the extent of an adult's faith. On the part of parents and then on the part of adults, that's a sin. Resisting the known truth, yourself personally, that's a sin against the Holy Ghost. When you know something is true and revealed by God, but for some unworthy motive, you resist it, you refuse it, that's a terrible sin. Apostasy is giving up the Christian religion to embrace another. That's the new religion today. It's an apostate religion. It's a modernist religion. There's no faith at all there, just the hollow outside appearance. Heresy is a willful error against some dogma defined by the church as revealed by God. One or more heresy, everything, the whole shooting match, well, that's apostasy. What are the dangers to your faith which you must be careful to avoid? Pride, intellectual pride. I'm pretty smart. I've studied, you know, and I've got it figured out, and nobody tells me what I'm going to believe or not believe. Or neglect of religion. If you don't put your faith into practice, pretty soon there will be no faith left to practice. Worldliness. If you have sort of a worldly, this world, casual attitude about faith and about sin, and you don't pray, this is the reason historically why the Catholic Church has forbidden mixed marriages, Catholic with a non-Catholic. You need a special dispensation for that because the danger that it presents to the faith. Bad books, too. Bad company, joking around, as I say, about these things. And most of all today, godless education. How many parents pay for such an education for their children, and at the end of it, alas, they often are not really educated, and they often do not have God anymore. What are your duties to the faith? Again, thanksgiving. It's a gift. Be grateful for it. Thank God for my mother and my father. They were Catholic. They baptized me. They passed the faith on to me. Thank God for this friend or this occurrence of divine providence whereby I heard about the faith, and I became a Catholic, the most wonderful gift of my life. And then, because I do consider it so, I take care of it. I'm not like a child who gets a gift on Christmas and by the end of the day it's broken or forgotten about under the couch. No, I take care of it by prayer and by instructions. I don't go out of my way to avoid hearing a sermon. I might even deliberately listen to an extra one from time to time, or ask a question, have a discussion, go to a class. I want to learn more about my faith. And then, because I have the faith intellectually, I try to order my life by it. That's the best way to assure I'll grow in my faith. And last of all, because I consider it a wonderful thing, not necessarily by my words, although sometimes maybe, but certainly by my example, always, for sure, I will try to win others over to my Catholic faith. Faith. We call you the full of faith, don't we? Faithful. Dear faithful. It's a power of the soul, and it is a force which is given to your mind. Just as strength, physical strength, and good health help you to be able to grasp or to wield a tool with which to work. You know, we have these lights on either side of the main door of the church outside, and they're very, very old. They came. We brought them from the old Presbyterian Church in Sharonville, and they have this antique kind of a timer with it, which we've given up trying to work now because there's some kind of a special wrench, I gather, that's required for that. But Father Chicago was explaining to me yesterday that in addition to this little piece of metal, you have to have as well fingers of iron, he says, to be able to grasp it and set the timer just right. So we try to remember to turn it on manually. Well, your faith gives you spiritually fingers of fire with which you can grasp and work and turn the light on your Catholic faith. Faith is not. It's not a feeling, a vague religious sense. That's modernism. It's not something I put on Sunday and take off on Monday for the real world. Nor is faith an act of trust or an act of confidence in God as your personal savior. For the Presbyterians, for the Protestants, it is, but not for us. It is the virtue whereby we firmly hold something as true. And this we do by God's grace, by his gift. He gives us the power to accept his word as true. And it all starts with the creed. That's a good Advent resolution. Say the creed every day. And whenever it becomes sort of blasé to you, or you find yourself doubting, questioning, tempted, recite it. Try this. Recite it over and over again until you feel the words of it come alive in your own soul. These words come from God. They will lead us back to God. These words, which, unlike our own words, will never pass away. It is God's truth. I believe. Amen. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.